Welcome to the Weekly Workplace, where professionals come to find insights and inspiration for success. Hosted by the Missouri Training Institute, Dewey Thompson, Ray Lyon, and Brianna Larimer share their decades of experience training in workplaces across the nation and talk to other experts about what it takes to be a team player, a great manager, and a leader others want to follow. This is the Weekly Workplace.
Welcome to the Weekly Workplace. My name's Brianna Larimer. With me we have Ray Lyon, Dewey Thompson, the fabulous MTI team. And today's topic is on business writing. And, you know, I chuckle when I say this, thinking about talking about writing. I want to start off with email, though, because I think a lot of us in this virtual environment use email as our main business writing platform. So I want to know from you all, what is your biggest pet peeve when it comes to email etiquette?
My biggest pet peeve is reply all. Reply all. I get it when people send something to a bunch of people. That makes sense to me. And maybe there's a question in it. But not everybody needs to know your response. And in that response, just taking just like a half a second to hit reply instead of reply all. That's all.
Yeah, yeah. You know, in thinking about that, Ray, my biggest pet peeve is we're using email so much that there are so many unnecessary messages coming to your inbox.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you really think about it, one of mine is the reply all, but I'll go on beyond that because they come back with K. Just a K for okay. And I'm like, you know, so I send an email out to everybody. I get a reply and I'm thinking to myself, oh, this person needs more information. This person has a question. And then I open it up and it just says K. And I'm like, ooh, they just got me again. Yeah, I think that there's so many issues, I think, when it comes to emails and that kind of thing. Brianna, what's yours?
I guess I have a couple, you know, and I say the first one sparingly because I love emojis. I do. However, I don't know if they're always appropriate in business email.
Yes.
Now, sometimes I'll put a little smiley face if I have a good relationship with whomever I'm sending that to. But I don't need a smiley face, heart, thumbs up, you know, all of that going on. And I think the second piece is blind copying. I think we use blind copying maybe inappropriately sometimes or not enough.
So my question is, if we were going to blind copy and let somebody know, then why don't you just CC somebody in?
Right.
But if you CC somebody in, which way back in the day, Dewey will know this, CC stood for carbon copy.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Remember carbon paper?
You actually had to put a sheet of carbon paper in between two pieces of typing paper
right.
and put them in your typewriter.
Right.
And that's how you got your copy. And you're right. It used to be for carbon copy.
Right. Yeah. So the second sheet of paper was actually an impression from the first sheet of paper, right? Mm-hmm. So it was a carbon mm-hmm. copy. Now it stands for courtesy copy. And that would lead to my second pet peeve, which is if you are CC'd in on an email, that means this is just for your information. This message is not meant for you. So do not respond. If you're going to respond, respond only to the author, but not to the person whom the message is sent to.
I'm still on this paper thing. Carbon copy?
Yeah. Look, get on your Google machine and look that up.
You know, I think that brings up a bigger point, though, when it comes to this idea of writing, especially for those in my generation, and even you, Brianna. I mean, if you think about it, when you were were learning to write back in either, you know, junior high or when you're starting to really form opinions and writing about them in school, you know, they really kind of focused you in on an academic approach, right? Mm-hmm. So you had to, you know, I don't know about you, but in college, I had all those 500 word essays or 10 page papers. Mm-hmm. And if you were like me, I filled that stuff up with as much flowery language, as many metaphors, as many adjectives as I possibly could, just to reach my limit, right? As opposed to what we need in business, which is, I don't need all that fluff. I need you to get down to the point. I need you to be very, very clear about what it is that you're needing from me, and then move on, right? Mm-hmm. Because we're such busy people. So the needs that of business writing are a lot different than kind of the needs that students have. But I still see a lot of that academic writing in the business world, if that makes sense.
Oh, absolutely. I think when I started with you all, I was still doing a little bit of that. And then we learned more about the preferences for communication styles. And Ray, I know you like it really to the point. And so I started really trying to be intentional about how I drafted those emails. But you're absolutely right, Dewey, that yeah, it was not something when I got out into the career, you know, the big career world, it was still very much, okay, what adjective can I use here to explain this a little bit more?
Right.
Or giving too much detail when we don't really need all of that.
Right. Right. Absolutely.
I was just wondering, coming from a different perspective into the business world, you know, a younger perspective, you know, 20, 30 years, we do talk to each other differently now than we used to. Mm-hmm. And it used to be very cut and dried. We didn't add niceties, you know, the please, or maybe we had more of a legal ease kind of speak, do we? Mm-hmm. You know, and I know we speak to that in our business writing classes, you know, our trainings that we do. But how have you seen it, Dewey, you know, knowing what we came from in the early 80s as business professionals to what we're seeing now in the needs of those graduating in the 90s and the 20s, you know?
Well, I think a lot of it is just the amount of communication that we have, right? Mm-hmm. We have so many different modes of communication, so many different technologies that we're using to communicate. But you're right. We used to be very, very formal. But when you take a look at things like people using texting, people using instant messaging, direct messaging, you know, even that's changed over the years.
Sure.
It used to be called instant messaging, and now it's really more what we call direct messaging, right? But you know, those are really quick snippets of little pieces of information, right? That we're not sending a big formal business letter, right? We're now sending these little quick phrases, these little quick snippets of information for people. And frankly, I think a lot of it is unnecessary. And when you take a look at it, you know, thanks. Okay. Well, I get you. I appreciate the nicety, but at the same time, is that really, I don't know about you, but I'm getting, you know, hundreds of emails a day and trying to prioritize what I open first and what I open second is oftentimes, you know, based on the subject matter of that email or, and who it's from. And so when you just reply, thanks again, you just feel like I've been, oh, they just got me again.
Right. I think a lot when I think about what I read or what I prioritize, and even as an author, and that's, you know, let's talk about it, you know, as the writer of the email or of the whatever I'm getting ready to whatever mode or channel I'm getting ready to use, and how important it is to think of your audience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of your reader, how Brianna, does that influence how you're going to write or even what channel you're choosing?
Yeah, I think it's incredibly important to know your audience. You know, we talk a lot. You can influence a lot through written communication. Just when I mentioned my emojis earlier, you know, for me personally, when I see that in business writing and there's a lot of emojis in there, it might limit the credibility that the person on the other end has with me. And so you need to know who you're speaking with, because depending on how they like to receive information will then determine whether or not you are doing well to build that influence or that relationship with them, or diminish it, you know. And ultimately, there are so many different channels out there, so many different ways to communicate with folks. And you have to be intentional about finding out what it is that they like.
Mm-hmm. I look for clues in their writing too. Mm-hmm. You know, if I receive an email from someone, I notice even at the top of it, first of all, how did they address me? Was it Ray, or was it hi Ray, mm-hmm. or hello Ray, or I still even get things, you know, being that we're faculty at the university, I'll get things like, hello, Dr. Lyon, mm-hmm. you know, and I'm like, okay, this person has no idea who I am, you know, and so, it tells me right away things. Do they immediately jump into the task at hand, mm-hmm. or do they have, you know, warm fuzzies, mm-hmm. you know, how was your weekend? I hope you're having a great day. Don't you love the sunshine, you know, and then I know how I might respond. Mm-hmm. Do I get back right at the task? And then, of course, email etiquette dictates that, you know, if we start an email thread, that I don't have to address hi, Brianna, every yeah. single time, you know, and just taking those clues from their emails. But I, you know, Dewey, you'd mentioned the formality, mm-hmm. and our language has become very informal, and we're almost more tolerant of misspellings, mm-hmm. and misuse of grammar. Talk about a pet peeve for me. You guys know me, but we're almost more tolerant because we want it so much faster.
Yes.
And so I'm willing to give up that accuracy for immediacy. But Brianna's right. To me, it loses its credibility.
Not only does it lose its credibility, but when we really start to shortcut information, you know, we're speaking in acronyms, or, you know, the LOLs. And, you know, we hope that people understand what some of those things are. But I think you're also losing clarity of your message often when we are rushing through it and only giving little snippets of information. You know, I ran across, here's an example. I ran across an email one time that said, the nature of the meeting led to its unsatisfactory outcome. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, what does that really mean? I mean, the nature of the meeting. Are you talking about the people involved? Are you talking about the subject matter? Are you talking about the bad storm that just came through, the nature of the meeting? And what does unsatisfactory mean? Does it mean you got through everything on the agenda but one item? You got through nothing on the agenda? What do you mean by unsatisfactory? And here's the thing, as an author, if you're not, you know, clarifying what you really mean, then you're allowing other people to interpret that message the way they want to.
Right.
That provides a lot of problems sometimes.
And you also then have a lot more back and forth than what you mm-hmm. really probably needed in the first place.
Exactly.
And, you know, when I think about hearing you all say that, you know, we lose the meaning and the conciseness sometimes become too short, I completely agree. You know, I personally am not on Instagram. A lot of my friends, you know, all in the same demographic as me, they're on Instagram, they're on TikTok. And when you think about where we are with communication, for my generation, it's images, it's videos now. And mm-hmm. so some of the shortest snippets of information you can possibly get, and not even in words. And so I think that it is important for us to consider, especially if you're along the lines of the demographic that I'm in, when you are speaking to someone you are influencing up towards, you know, what demographic are they in, and do they prefer right. the longer text, the more specific words, the more articulate words? Are you speaking their language? You know, I can remember a time as a deputy juvenile officer, and I had a parent who got so frustrated with me in that meeting because she goes, "Can you just use plain language?" And I thought to myself, goodness, I'm sitting here using all of the legal terms. She has no idea what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. You know, so think about, again, your audience. Who is it that you were trying to get the message across to? Mm-hmm. And maybe it is a video for your colleague, you know, who's a cubicle away from you. But if you're sending something up the chain to your supervisor, to your leadership, be aware of what their expectations may be.
Right. be mindful that everything you write is now a record.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And it doesn't belong to you.
No, it doesn't. No.
So sometimes get off your keister and go have a verbal conversation or pick up the phone. And I also think that's important to realize in business writing, when is it time to take it off the screen, out of our device, and actually get up and go have a conversation. Now, of course, you know, now we can use Zoom or WebEx, you know, and have a video chat as well. And that's important. But I think we need to be smart business people and know when is it time to take it off the written track.
And you know, that's so funny, Ray, because I don't know about you, but I know we're all guilty of this. Don't get me wrong, but we are using email and some of these other technologies, not necessarily to enhance communication or to improve communication with our relationships. We're using it to document communication, you know, so we can prove when something got sent or we can prove when somebody opened it up, those kinds of things. As opposed to, you know, the real purpose here is to convey meaning, you know, to for us to really understand what somebody else is trying to communicate and for them to understand what we're trying to communicate. Notice I didn't say we agree on it.
Right. Or we even like it.
Or that we even like it. Absolutely. But it's but I think we use these things. We feel instead of getting on the phone or going to see a person, we're doing that to document communication.
Yeah. And, you know, email or even any of those other channels that Brianna had mentioned, you know, that's just one tool.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, that really is just one tool. And if we're trying to understand one another and, of course, demonstrate respect, choosing the right mode is. But I, you know, I want to stay on the written word. But when you think about it from an author's perspective, and let's say we have finally said, yes, you know, email is my chosen mode of communication. And, you know, I have, you know, surveyed all the others. And this is, how do we begin that process of putting our thought into writing?
Well, a tip that I've always used is what they call this inverted pyramid, right? So if you can just imagine in your head an inverted pyramid, and the very top of that message is a very broad statement, right? And that statement really needs to convey to the reader, what is this email about? Right. As well as the importance of it, you know, why it's important for us to kind of have this, to give you this information or to convey this message to you. Then I think we need to kind of get into some details. Right. And think about trying to give people explain your logic to them or clarify certain details about the subject matter. But at the end, I think this doesn't happen too often. We need to ask for action. You know, in business, we write to get things done. It's about making a decision. It's about moving forward somehow. It's not just about, you know, it's a pretty day outside, right? So we want to ask clearly, what do you expect this reader to do once they read your email? Have you clearly called for some type of action on their behalf?
Right. And that's going to be a lot about who you're writing to,
mm-hmm.
as far as what they need to be doing.
Right.
So really thinking about who is my reader and are they going to think this is good news?
Right.
You know, that sometimes we don't think about that. Like they might really be overjoyed with this information. And I want this to be front and center because I think that's also motivating. And, you know, they're going to be eager to read your words. And, you know, you can get to the point even quicker. Is it quicker or more quickly? Anyway, you can figure that
grammar
out.
Grammar police.
I know. But, you know, so they're going to be excited to read it. If you know that this isn't necessarily going to be good news to them, I think you can take a different approach. You agree?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. It's really about understanding your audience. Is this information that you're going to be conveying new to them? Is it something that they're already familiar with? What's their knowledge of the subject matter already? And I like what you're talking about in terms of what's their opinion likely to be? Are they going to be for it? They're going to be against it? You know, how might they actually respond? And knowing this person, how might they respond to your message? What's in it for them?
Yeah.
You know, how can you, mm-hmm. how can you really understand why they might be interested and use that to really gain their attention early on in the email. So, yeah, I mean, thinking through who your audience is, I think is the place to start.
Well, and Ray, I want to touch on what you had just mentioned when it came to maybe it's not great news, you know, and how do we kind of structure that? Well, I was always told to kind of pad maybe not so great news between really positive opening and ending. And that was something that I always thought was a little interesting. It's not to be manipulative in any way, but it's like you do want to at least give someone an upbeat feeling before you dive into, and here's not so great news. But then always end it on a positive note, you know, let them know whatever it was, how we move forward from it, or that you're there to support the process, you know, those kinds of things to, again, just continue that relationship building, even via written message.
Yeah. What do you guys think about the informality and where we might be headed with that?
I think that, I mean, when I consider it, I don't even know where we're heading is the right terminology, because I think we're there. Like, there's such an informality now with the way we text, our like, it's a TikTok and Instagram and just general consensus. I think of my little brother and the way that he communicates, which is very rare that he communicates. And when he does, it is in GIFs normally. And so I think we're adapting, because it's like, what else are you going to do?
Well, that's an interesting point, because I think a lot of people look at a subject like business writing as being very rule driven, right? That you have very certain grammar rules, punctuation rules, things like that. But I think it's important for people to realize that language changes over time.
Sure.
You know, when you think about how technology has really kind of taken over how we're writing, it has changed how people write and how they communicate. So, again, I think that it's easy to sit here and talk about our own little personal pet peeves in people's writing and things like that. But we also have to realize that it really depends, right, on the message, who you're writing to, you know, kind of what tone you might take, you know, whether or not you sandwich the information. Because as you were talking about conveying bad news and kind of burying it in the middle, I certainly understand that approach. But at the same time, does that create an unclear expectation of this bad news? You know what I mean? So you really have to make very deliberate decisions and to recognize that language does change over time. And it really is about what it is that you're wanting this person to do as a result of reading this information.
Yeah, I guess, you know, when I think about it, and I, you know, I have grandchildren, and my oldest grandchild is 11. So she's in the fifth grade, I guess, getting ready to go in the sixth grade. Oh, my gosh. She doesn't write in cursive. Mm. And, you know, I have an app on my phone called Marco Polo. And what it is just, I can like create a little video of me talking, and then it's like an instant message, but it's in the form of a video. So there is no writing that goes on. And then she just sees my little video, and then she records her little video, and it just instantly comes back to me. But it's a recording, not, you know, we're not open dialoguing, you know, two-way communication, I guess that's concurrent, right? Or yeah. And so when I think of what's next, you know, how far away are we going to be getting totally from writing at all? You know, when I send her a replacement to a text message is now in the form of a little video, just like you were talking with TikTok and things like that. And and we're not teaching cursive and you know, think about the word tablet. You know, I just think about how, you know, we still have these words, but they don't know that it used to be a yellow piece of paper that you flipped over and folded and wrote on it. And even from tablets way back in the BC kind of tablet. And just, Oh, it's just amazing to me. And then we create words.
Oh,
you
yeah,
know?
Yeah. Ginormous.
Ginormous always comes to my mind.
Yeah. Do we really need another word to describe right. something that's big or huge or
yeah.
grand or great? So let's yeah. take gigantic and let's take enormous right. and let's push them together yeah. and call it a brand new word. So, yeah. but that's how language does change over time. Well, think about the last time you actually received a handwritten thank you note from somebody. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's probably been a long time for a lot of us. It's kind of a lost art, actually,
right.
if you will. But think also about how the meaningfulness yeah. of receiving something right. like that, that somebody actually took the time to go find a little card. Somebody took the time to handwrite mm-hmm. something on that card and actually, you know, put it in the inner office mail or put it in the regular mail, whatever have you. And you're like, oh, it just made your day,
it
you
did.
Know, as opposed to just hitting reply or hitting a,
yep.
Sending an email to somebody. So what are your favorite tips that you could share in terms of strengthening your writing skills?
I still think you're the most influential and build the most credibility when you know the meaning of the words that you're using
mm-hmm.
and you use them appropriately and you use them in the correct tense that they're meant to be used. So I'm still very big on grammar and word choice because I think if you misuse a word, that really plummets your influence with me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm still big on grammar and, you know, the comma versus the no comma and the semicolon. And,
yeah.
You
yeah.
know, yeah. I don't know.
I think you're right. You know, I think grammar can save lives.
Yes.
Yeah. So right. take this
let's
example.
Eat.
Yeah. Let's eat grandma
right.
versus let's eat comma grandma. Because
yes.
those mean two different mm-hmm. things all yeah. based on that one little comma.
Yeah.
So yeah, sharpening up those skills. And you know, for many of us, it's been many years since we have looked at our writing skills. It's something that we learned early on and we get into the professional world and we don't necessarily kind of revisit those things once in a while. And right. often I think people are writing as if they're talking. But to recognize that this, you know, when we speak, the spoken word is just different. We don't speak in grammatically correct phrases.
Right.
We speak in phrases, not whole sentences.
Right.
And so, you know, understanding the differences between the spoken and the written word are really important, I think.
Well, and that's why I came to you years ago and said, I want to do a grammar class because it's getting ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're and your and there and, you know, they are. I mean, it's getting ridiculous and we're not paying enough attention and we're letting it happen.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I do the grammar class most. Luckily, Brianna has come on board and she's picked some of the load up.
You know, another tip I would give everybody would be to really shorten your sentences, right, into very concise statements. Instead of a string of and with all these phrases and you're making these big compound sentences, just keep it to one sentence equals one complete thought. Now, you can have as many sentences as you want, right? But let's not combine them into something to where people get real confused about what phrase relates to what phrase. And
subject, verb, object.
Subject, verb, object. Absolutely.
Which assumes you know what subject is and
well,
object
that's funny.
Is.
That is funny because... you know, when we put that grammar class together, when we originally did that, I didn't want to put in, you know, things like what's a noun, what's a verb, you know, what's an adjective, what's an adverb, because I figured these are professional adults. They probably already know that information. But it was interesting that mm-hmm. I quickly added it back in because, again, these are professionals that have been working out there for a long time, but they kind of forgot got their parts of speech even. So right. I'd give them a sentence. And they couldn't tell me the difference between an adjective and an adverb, right? So, you know, helping people kind of brush up on those skills is oftentimes an eye-opening experience for them that can really improve their writing.
Yeah.
I'd say my tip to everyone, just be actionable. Like, put actionable verbs in there. You used one earlier, I think, to implement. I hate the word implement. What does that mean? How do I know when it's done? And so I think when we're really thinking about being specific and being targeted in our approach, make sure that when you have that call for action, that it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
That it makes sense at the end of the day. Well, we are running out of time. And so,
wow, we should do a part two or a part three on this. There's so many things we could talk about.
Well, we should schedule a business writing class and a grammar class for sure.
We may do a part two on this. Until then,
go be great.
Thanks for listening to The Weekly Workplace, hosted by the Missouri Training Institute. Dewey, Ray, and Brianna stand ready to connect with you and meet your training needs. Be sure to check out ways to contact them in the episode description or at mti.missouri.edu.